Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers, a dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends, a place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it. No matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Hello and welcome. You're tuned in to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Tim Dennis will be back with me next week in studio as we present you a whole new week's worth of shows. Hopefully we'll be back on track now that his health is on the rebound, and you'll be hearing a lot more from Timmy on the episodes. Today's a great episode because, it's one of those where a listener reached out, said, Dave, you've got to hear this guy. You've got to talk to him for yourself. You got to hear his story. He's got some very interesting information to share with you. So we reached out, and Rob Potter is joining us tonight. He's been researching healing and consciousness for over 40 years. He has given seminars all over the world, including Egypt, Canada, Europe, and USA. He has a weekly radio show on Paradigm Zone Radio called The Victory of Light. He's also been experiencing UFO contact since 1975. He's here this evening to talk us through his life, through his experiences, and the knowledge that he's gained over the years. Rob, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure to be on your show. Thanks a lot for having me, Dave.
Wow. You've done it all, seen it all, been all over. This is pretty remarkable. Let's start with your story, Rob. When did you start to become aware and start having interactions and realize that there was an opening in some kind of paradigm for you?
Well, actually, the company I worked for was called Paradigm. And I have to say that my beginning started with my friend at I was in the pyramids in high school, and this girl goes, really? I know the Pyramid Man. I said, really? The Pyramid Man? She goes, yeah, his house has got pyramids everywhere, and he's a Pyramid Man. So I went over, and it happened to be Fred Bell, who great uncle invented the telephone. His father worked for Henry Ford and helped invent the automatic transmission and the alternator. He developed that with Henry Ford. He was birthed by Henry Ford's doctor. He grew up with Bob Johnson of Johnson Motors, bouncing him on his lap, and Bob McCulloch. So he grew into an engineer family that had an intimate understanding of science. And every person who looked at his astrology said, this guy a physicist, and that's exactly what he was. He ended up working with the government, seeing UFOs, coming in over Point Reyes during the Cuban Missile Crisis. And he started to report it. He was a young kid in charge of the entire electrical array at like 21.
Wow.
He had a PhD in physics at 17, studied the shockwave of the atomic bomb with Leonard Klatz. And they had a particle, a linear collider there where they, shoot a deuterium into a calcium atom in the Wilson cloud chamber and see the quantum physics of the quarks and up and down. So he grew up with that stuff, and it was kind of second nature to him. And so I learned from him. I was his assistant. His closest person who knew him throughout his entire tenure of his kind of spiritual and metaphysical mission. And what happened was he said UFOs. And they said, did you see a UFO? And he goes, well, yeah. And so they They had the white coats ready for him, and they took him to the hospital and go, they said, you saw a UFO. He goes, look, just tell him I'll give him a, you know, give me an honorable discharge and I'm out, because he couldn't deal with the duplicity. And then he went to work for JPL, Rockwell, and NASA. And he started off at NASA, and he started complaining about the electrical engineering there on the Cape. And then the guys burned up, and he was vindicated. Anyway, through that process, he was aware of the UFOs and the ET phenomenon going around the NASA program, working on the modules that the astronauts were in.
Now, when you say this, again, you're saying it so matter-of-factly. What do you mean he was aware and knew that they were aware of the UFO phenomenon? It was just something that was unspoken, or this was information that was given to him?
It's pretty much common knowledge for most of the people in the higher up. A UFO probe would come in every day after work and circle the Long Beach hangar and go in and see what they did. So they're monitoring very closely for many, many years what's going on here. Long story short, he gets goes to a spiritual development with an Indian teacher, and then I meet him about the time he moves to Laguna Beach. And this is in the early 70s, and Laguna's in the hippie heyday. And so that's how I came to know him, was the pyramids. And we traveled the country with the National Health Federation. I've sold a whole host of pyramids, which are vortex little designs and stuff like that. And then he had started having contacts with the Pleiadians. And it's kind of an intimate, long story, but basically he lived in George Adamski's old house in Laguna Beach.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And when he was there, the spaceship came in, and he told me that, you know, he was telepathically communicating, and he said, where are you from? She goes, you hear about my name in the distant land. And then later, Billy Meyer and the famous Switzerland case came right in, and that was the woman. And Billy's people, there's only Billy Meyer's the only contact. But I read all her notes when they first came out through Wendell Stevens, and she said, you're my only contact, except for spurious scientific contacts. In other words, they would choose an individual that's open-minded with a good heart, a consciousness that can assimilate the interdimensional physics that they want to share to help heal the planet through individuals. It couldn't happen through the governments. And that's a Valley of Thor thing. We'll go into that later. But so he was a cool guy. And so I was there for years, and people always thought we were crazy, but we were up there. He had developed these pyramid systems, which is various configurations, and people can check that out, which is called thepromiserevealed.com. And if you go there, you can look under pyramid systems. I have a nice link there, and I have a good article on pyramid energy and stuff like that. So we were selling that, and then they introduced us to crystals and lasers.
Well, hold on now. Let's back up to the pyramid, because I remember I remember in the 70s kind of this big wave of pyramid power. I mean, I was a kid at that time, but I remember my hippie aunt talking about it, and you know, and hearing it in the news and kind of in fringe news. What exactly is pyramid power? And I remember, help me if I'm wrong here, but I remember they actually used to have like a...
We sell them, you wear on the head.
Yeah, that it's like a miniature pyramid you wear on your head.
That's us.
That was you.
Okay. Yeah.
So what...
Fred Bell, actually. Okay. The pyramid's been around for millions of years.
Right. Now, talk to me about this, though. Okay, so the... why a pyramid, first of all? Why is that an important geometric shape?
Okay. We have four directions in the Indian thing, and that actually represents the four building blocks of nature: hydrogen, carbon, oxygen, and nitrogen. Carbon is a physical atom and is pyramid-shaped and has the inherent characteristic, when struck by magnetism, creates a life force. Let me give you the scientific definition of pyramid energy. Mm-hmm. Pyramid energy is progressive energy transfer through geometric focusing and dynamic electrical amplification over measured plane of coordinates. That's a highfalutin science thing. Okay. Basically what it means, and Pat Flanagan was very instrumental because he's a top-notch scientist too, but Fred also was very knowledgeable about the pyramid. So the pyramid, what it does, it's actually called the principle of matter made flesh. So everything that's alive has an aura, but a metal doesn't. But the pyramid is unique that when it's aligned to magnetic north, it sings or rings. And there's an interdimensional vortex that actually takes place in there. And you can actually see the masculine feminine vortex picture taken by another pyramid researcher that on my website that will show when accelerated with a Tesla coil, the pyramids create a large vortex of energy. We used to go to UCLA and Thelma Moss was doing aura studies. And so we did experiments with the pyramid showing that it has life force. You know, you can put a pyramid, over an apple here and one over here. This one will decay. This one will become mummified because the pyramid produces a small electrical charge called a negative ion. Mm-hmm. And that's a life force. So it goes into the apple, thinks it's still on the tree. And will get hard. It will mummify. So that's the life preserver.
I'm not a science guy, Rob.
Yeah. Okay,
so
yeah.
Here's my question for you, though. If I took a Tupperware container and I put it over an apple and I left another apple out, wouldn't the apple under the Tupperware container, it would the principles and effects of it on, you know, on that apple would be different than the one just sitting out on the counter anyway, because the sun, oxygen, things would deteriorate that apple at a more rapid rate. Is it really because it was under a pyramid or because it was covered that
the pyramid's not covered? We sell open frame pyramids.
Okay, so it's like a wire pyramid. Okay, well that's what I'm trying to understand here. So our again, radio is a lot of theater of the mind. We've got to get people to see the picture we're talking about. All right, so you've got this idea. People are so what's the idea of wearing it on your head though? Is it to focus the energy to your head and bring up that magnetic resonance to allow you to see or experience or maybe even receive more?
You're exactly kind of tuning in exactly where it goes. See, the body, who are we? We're this physical body shell, but really we are the living flame of God in a sense. We are this electrical energy field that when we think we have electricity, and if you have electricity in have magnetism around it. So all of our millions of nerves creates a magnetic field. And this magnetic field is based on seven colors, seven sounds, seven endocrine glands, seven chakras, which are force centers at etheric levels, which direct the life force into the physical body to make us alive and who we are. So the pyramids are actually an interdimensional physics lesson and a healing tool of nature that is recognized by multiple civilizations throughout the universe. And according to the specific gravity of the planet and the people on it, the pyramid will have a different number of sides and a slightly different angle. But for us, the pyramid is based on pi. The base divided by the height of a pyramid creates pi, and that is that number progresses to infinity. So the pyramid also represents an abundance of energy and financial system. There's all kinds of things revolving around it, but
so this wire pyramid hat that you're wearing.
Yeah.
What is it? What are the principles of the metal that creates it, and how is it charged? Is it hooked up to a battery? Is it hooked? What exactly is giving it its magnetic charge? How does that all happen?
That's nature. And what happens is if you make it out of metal, it becomes stronger. So what we use now, titanium is better, but they're very expensive. I don't make them anymore, but you have a steel wire and then you plate it with nickel, copper, gold, and silver. And each of these metals, when combined and mixed, create what's called an orgone effect. And the gold molecule is pyramid shaped. That's why we value it. Is because in ancient times, it used to be lining the temples. You'd go in and meditate, and you'd just get you'd feel a piece of calm. They still have that quite a bit in Asia, gold temples that are absolutely beautiful and radiate kind of an energy. So how it works, Brother Dave, is it's simply like this. You have a pyramid, and then you turn it, line to magnetic north, and it goes, and all of a sudden the life force kind of creates. And so using the precious metals and gold, it becomes a little more powerful. But what happens is you put it on your head, and you go into alpha state. You don't have to think about it. You don't need to put one of those things on where you try to relax and when it goes, and when you're relaxed, it goes quiet. You don't need to do that with the pyramid. It just naturally goes. So the pyramid is over. There's a lot of metaphysical and metaphorical meanings in the sciences of yoga and spiritual adeptship when it comes to learning and transforming yourself into a more subtly aware individual. And they have said, like in the Bible, when thine eye be single, thy body be full of light. And what that means is if you take the body and look at the nervous system, and this is the root ball. Your head is actually the root ball of the tree of life. So you kind of turn it upside down. And so, and in the, you know, there's a lot of metaphysical things that can be related to some of these more esoteric teachings, like Eve partook of the fruit of the tree. You know, did she eat an apple? No, the fruit of the tree of life is a sexual thing. She was convinced by this fallen energy to speed up the evolution of a race by having sex with her, and she kind of violated this kind of directive that was designed to help men uplift him genetically from some previous problems we had. So there's a lot of deep history that goes on with the earth and what's taking place now. But the pyramid's one part of my work. I have lots of other stuff on there.
Just out of curiosity with that, because the brain is such a sensitive instrument, and it's got its own electrical wiring, if you will. It's got the liquid around it, the energy around it. By wearing this, and especially having it magnetized, can this also negatively impact your brain and thought processes if it's put on wrong, or you're facing magnetic south instead of magnetic north? I mean, you know, are there bad effects if you do this?
I haven't noticed any. The only thing some people notice, if you put it on and you're toxic, it will cause a detoxification of the occipital ridge of your head, because it'll increase the blood flow. Your brain starts working and kicking out all junk. So some people who like smoke cigarettes, the back of the brain, the carotid artery goes up at a quarter of an inch, and then it hits a sieve of the gray matter. So it's like all these particles get stopped. And so you kind of get an accumulation of toxins in here. And by the time you reach 30s, it's reached up to the balance of your brain and your digestion. Everything slows down. But the pyramid adds to the detoxing. And what happens is the liver becomes overloaded because of the toxins going in. So you just take it off, drink some water, take some flushing niacin to open your blood vessels, and it goes away. So that's about the only thing was a too fast detox. But it's just simply life force energy. It's what you breathe in the air. But the unique part of the pyramid energy is it has seven levels. So you have seven chakras. Let's go through them. They're actually related to organs. One is to the pineal, or the optical, the eye of the consciousness self, and radiating to the world around it, electrically speaking. Then you have the third eye, which is actually the pituitary gland. That's a gland that grows and tells you to get up and do stuff. That's red. That's a ruby. This is a diamond. Now you come down into communication, the throat chakra. And this is an endocrine gland, and this has a relationship to sound, light, and color, and will change its hormonal output and vibrational changes if you expose it to color, sound, and stuff like that. So this is a ruby. And then you have the thymus, the heart chakra. This produces the immune system. And so all of these glands, imagine them, they're on different frequencies, and they all want to be going, and you're kind of like this being. If you can imagine yourself, you have a vessel. You talked about the water. Water is very important, but we're a living vessel for the living word of God, or our relationship to the, where we're infinite, and the creation is the infinite. And I want to get into God as a person or a thing. It's just a relationship of reverence and humility. And if one develops that, different things open up. But I'll just say that the physical body has these other chakras. For instance, the pancreas and adrenals. This is your digestion, and this is the color of yellow. This is green, and this would be like yellow digestion. And then you go to orange, you have the spleen, and so then you go down to the sexual organs, that would be like violet or blue. And so we understand a relationship between these seven where they're all going like this, and these are how our feelings are, because the pituitary, all these endocrine glands are the produce the first unit of biochemistry that possesses consciousness. So you have a feeling. And most of the time we get all caught up in all these different
things. Wait a minute, say that again to me. It's the first one to develop consciousness. I thought we still haven't been able to dictate where consciousness survives. Is it in us, out us, around us? Where do you believe consciousness truly exists?
Well, we are consciousness, but we are interacting. We have aggregates. The Buddhists went into this deeply. I'm a philosophy major. They talk about aggregates of consciousness, of the physical body, and part of your making up of who you are and understanding the nature of the self. And that goes into understanding the electrical body and the feelings and the science of how we process feelings and perceive. That's a very big part of the shaman stuff is perceiving. I had a lot of in the Carlos Castaneda, Don Juan field where I had revelations that I've actually seen the auric egg. It's they call it seeing, but it was a fleeting glimpse, and you have to kind of train yourself to stop the world, and it's a very trippy scene, but you kind of realize that you're this light vehicle moving along these waves of energy and relating. And I actually saw that I'm a luminous being. I had that experience. So,
To kind of talk about the chakras real quick too, with what you're talking about, this line that are on seven different planes.
Mm-hmm.
Is the problem, and I'll try to give this a relatable twist. Is the problem that these seven planes all coexist, but they're not in harmonic resonance, and that's why our lives are kind of out of order? So that's when you're trying to align your chakras, that's what you need to get. So if you picture it, folks, if your body's like a radio and you're laying on the ground in a radio, starting from the crotch all the way to the top of the head, each one is a different dial. You got heavy metal, you got soft rock, you've got contemporary music, you've got the 60s and 70s. So you've got this whole mix. The problem is they're all their own sorted issue, and they're not working in harmony. So the idea when you align this is kind of opening yourself so that these channels harmonize with one another. They become one song instead of multiple layers of, you know, of their own song. They become one song, and then they work more powerfully.
That's very good. Very good. You just basically described like ascension, because all planes do exist here. We're focused primarily on the 3D plane. We're having feelings and experiences and integrating some of these other aspects of ourselves. But the idea is to have the higher plane subtle energy frequencies within your aura. And that is the sum total of what you think, do, be, say, and all the influences around you. But I think you've got it right as far as raising vibration and the chakras. So I just want to say that was part of my knowledge, was going into how feelings and the biochemistry of chakras affect your endocrine glands. So the chakras are a magnetic center. You have a physical gland secreting hormones, and it should be flowing. But we have so many things, Dave, that are assaulting us, that are trying to destroy our spiritual body and our relationship. We have elf ways. We have HARP. We have genetically altered foods. We have chemtrails. We have mind control systems working through various electronics technologies, and an ignorant populace that believes the world we're living in is sustainable. There has been a lot of hijinks going on with humanity, but there's a lot of hope and good things coming forward from these revelations and technologies too.
All right, so you were talking about your introduction to this world and working with Mr. Bell and trying to not only educate yourself but to open others to the possibilities and educate them, enlighten them, open them up to this. Did you run into a bunch of
resistance?
Yeah, resistance. I guess that's a good word because of this. Because, I mean, it is. I remember as a 10-year-old kid hearing about the pyramid power hats and thinking, what kind of whack job buys a pyramid power hat and sits there in the lotus position, cross-legged on the floor, oming their way to harmony? And it always sounded really fun to me. As I've gotten older, I understand the idea of settling the mind and focusing. And if that's a visual, and I've often wondered that, was the pyramid hat more of a tool to help you focus your own consciousness as opposed to, I mean, do we really need it? Or could we get by without it if we were able to get that consciousness to a point and focused anyway?
Of course you can. The pyramid is a tool. It's simply what it is. And I have to say that, actually that does calm the body. It does create a cycle. It is the middle note of C. And if one, actually, I did this. You've heard of cymatics, where you put a speaker in the bottom of a trash can, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a little, only the thing out, and then you connect it to your microphone, and you put a big rubber thing around it, and you put some sand on it. And then you go, oh. And what's very interesting in the science of cymatics, when I thought and I heard about it and I did this experiment and tried it, I thought, oh, it's going to make this symbol in the center. And I didn't know what the symbol would be, but it started out with an outside circle, and then it moved to the center and there were fleur-de-lis. Then there was another circle, and as you go in, deeper in, it actually turns into what they call the heart. In the Buddhist thing, it actually has a circle, and there's two pyramids, and they're like this, but they're also, it's usually depicted as red and white. So there's a bunch of individual pyramids making each part of the Star of David, three-dimensional, it's made by the pyramid. And you come in the center, and this thing starts bouncing the sand up into pyramids. It was the most amazing thing. I really understood the power of sound and vibration. And I could see as I did the Om, and I think this could be used in healing, Dave. I think if people put them on these cymatic plates and you watch, you'd be able to see, because certain areas of my circle wasn't complete. We got into the pyramids and some of them weren't as strong as the others. And I think that would relate to all the sound vibration. You could probably diagnose some illness there. Any of you techies out there want to start researching that?
That's interesting. So where does this lead you to, and how do you start interacting with aliens and UFOs? How does this lead you to that?
Okay, I had an intense desire to know the truth. And in the beginning, I was coming from a spiritual perspective. I read Autobiography of a Yogi and did get into meditation and the idea of developing yourself and having a mentor and designing your life towards God. And then the UFO thing, Fred kind of revealed the UFO thing. He said, spaceships, I remember it was 81 or something, the spaceships are all about the Earth. And he started revealing a lot of the information, because he would just go, I was up in the ship tonight, or I met her on the hill, or, you know, I was just like, really? And he would be just on fire, just like, and look at this. And he was showing me this stuff. And even his wives were like, what is he talking about? But I was right there. And I remember it started out one time we're going across country in a van, and Fred never likes to stop. We would just, me, the first girlfriend was Bunny. It would be Bunny, me, and him for 8 hours straight, whatever. I'd wake up, I'd go to sleep in New Mexico and wake up coming into Pennsylvania. So it was odd to me that we wanted to stop at 395 near Edwards Air Force Base, right after we left Laguna. It goes, turn off here, go over here. And he told me later he'd had a telepathic communication. He asked if we could be a witnesses, and they said no. And he goes, and Louise was already asleep in the back. And I remember I was driving, or he was driving. He got out, and he came over to the side, and he goes, I'll just stay here till I get back. He goes, take a nap. And he goes like this, take a nap. And I just, I don't remember anything. Next thing I know is the door opened up. Okay, let's go. And what happened that night was a ship landed, and Semyasi let him drive the ship. Now, the government has very sensitive radar and stuff, and I didn't know it. But when we came back, this is 1970 or five or six, something like that. And I liked to like incense. He was in incense, so we had it in the car. And he goes, don't light that incense. I'm thinking like, you always light incense. What's the problem? He goes, never mind. And we come up, and there's a military blockade on this desert road off of the 395 behind some hills just on this. And these guys are looking at where you're going. I go, what do you do? I mean, what's this about? He goes, what's that smell? And I said, it's incense. So that was very odd to me. And I found out later that's what happened. And so I've kind of been skirting around and showing up at various contactees' houses. Gabriel Green was a great teacher of mine, and he had a lot of phenomenon around him. You'd go into his house, your car would go dead. He'd be talking about something, and a picture would shift, or a light would go on. And this isn't like psychic, phenomenon. This is like working with the ETs that are literally watching you, and you can have a conversation. So I came to the reality and the understanding at a pretty early age that and had the technology explained, they can look through anything. They can see what you're doing. They know what all the bad guys are doing. It's all recorded. It's all going to come out. And all this stuff, when the planet's liberated and the messianic or Christ forces or the healing takes place and everyone kind of gets free from the suffering of the matrix that's really pressing upon those chakras and manipulating our feelings. So I got a feeling of that. And Gabe, I would be at Gabe's house, and here's a story I haven't told for a while. But I think I was here with Michael Allegian, and Gabe goes, I go, so what was the deal with them when they were landing with you? And he says, oh, they really like the, they like to dress up in the, they'd wear the like rebel without a cause, and they had a ducktail, and I go, yeah. And he said to me, Rob, he goes, Rob, they really like the 50s stuff. And I said that, and we went out to a 7-Eleven, and I swear to God, three hot babes in the back seat sitting on the car part, and two guys in the front. And they looked like they were straight out of Greece. Mm-hmm. All of them very attractive. And they came in through the store. They ran the energy. They were like bouncing around, kind of came in. And only one guy got something. And he came out before me and got a pack of cigarettes. And I'm thinking, you can't fool me. I know you guys are ETs. This is like a soft, subtle contact. And the guy looks at me and he winks. And then he pat, you know, how they pound the cigarettes back in the 50s. Mm-hmm. And he took it, and he took out the wrapper. I go, oh, is he going to smoke it? And he put it in his shirt and rolled up. And this thing was a mint 57 baby blue and white Chevy. These girls were in Bobby Soxers with penny loafers, their hairs and ponytails. And Gabe had just told me, like, they like the 50s. So this was like seeing if I was telepathically tuned in to the vibration and to kind of introduce me to, hey, we're just like you. Don't freak out with this ET thing and the they and all the mystery. We're brothers and sisters. And I didn't have any idea back then why we couldn't talk to them. I was freaking out at some point. They were coming close. I'd see them. I'd have all these experiences. They'd come down the hill, Fred Bell's house in the gray, and they come in front of my house and they pulse, and I go, are you real? And I'd feel this wave of love as this light would pulse.
Wait a minute. So these aliens look just, they're human looking, but they dress like the Fonz, basically. They're just rebel fifties or what is this?
I'm just saying this one experience.
Right. They okay. But that was my point. If they like that kind of, you would think that they wouldn't do things to make themselves stand out so I mean, because that's an odd look to just be cruising around to show people,
look,
right?
Look, people don't wait anything, and it was an intimate thing with me. Now, you got to understand, Gabriel Green was kind of like James Gilliland, but he was much more intimate and more powerful experience. James Gilliland, go to his house, it's like a theater, and the UFOs come, and it's the real deal. I mean, Jimmy Church just posted something, I don't know, about his hole in the mountain, probably. There are holes there.
Right, we're going to talk to Jimmy tomorrow on the show, so...
Oh, cool. Well, they're definitely there. That's what's going on. And you can get caught up in the phenomenon of, wow, they're really there. But let's look at – I was always interested in the spiritual information. It said, okay, you're here. I'm understanding that now. And if you, you know, dressing up that – they could have dressed up some other way. But Gabe said even he didn't know sometimes. He would know telepathically, but they wouldn't say, hey, I'm Orthon from Scout Ship 2. I was directed to come down here and help you get a computer. Well, the computer came out. They took Gabriel in. They set him up, and one guy walked in and just out of the blue just talked to him, explained to him stuff, and said, take it home and put it together. So that kind of help happens. I also have talked with Charles Thompson, the guy from Corey Good who did the NASA program. Now, that guy's had intimate relations, and he explained to me he had a lot of the same stuff, too. Well, there's a telepathic communication, but there's no direct, I'm from somewhere. They have ability of what's called transimagery, make you see something. And they have to do that. It's kind of for their safety. It's not meant to fool you or hoodwink you, like some people think. It's in a gentle, beneficial way to move things along. For instance, my good friend Dr. Frank Stranges, who was a Secret Service agent chasing funny paper and a pastor, was very into UFOs and spoke on the circuit and got a picture of Valiant Thor, the guy who landed the Pentagon in 56, Alexandria, UFO landed there. The police escorted him to Eisenhower through the Pentagon and the underground train. And he talked to Eisenhower and shared that experience. Dr. Frank Strange's, I forgot where I was going with Dr. Frank, but I'll go on the story with Valiant Thor. Went to Eisenhower, and they said, well, you've caused quite a stir here. And then Nixon, Tricky Dick, came in and goes, yeah. And he says, well, he said, I'd like to talk to you. We're going to escort you. We're going to give you an apartment at the Pentagon. And we'll discuss and take look over your offer. And he had a crystal tablet with foreign markings made of like a crystalline glass. And anyone who got it could read it and understand it. And basically, they had offered to the United States and to all the world governments help in transitioning into a flourishing society instead of denigrating ourselves. They offered, of course, free energy, advanced healing, understanding science and technologies that are just used to enslave us and to create money, but that are so simple, we wouldn't have the problems that we have. Can you imagine what people are going to do, Dave, when they really find out, when I've been saying there's free energy for years, when they finally know that the government has a secret space program with lots of ships in this galaxy and have actually traveled out who are doing activities with technologies that have been kept from us and that are stolen from us through the corruption of the individuals who are responsible to help the group to focus. They've taken these technologies and hidden them for their own purposes while we ride around in cars, stuck in traffic, screwing up the tectonic plates by taking oil, which is a shock absorber, pumping in water, spewing it all over our atmosphere so we can't breathe. It's absolute insanity. And you go, what the is going on? And it's a bunch of criminals, and there is a conspiracy. Now, it gets very intense. It sounds like an out-there Star Wars thing, but it actually has to do with an invasion that took place on the Earth 36,000 years ago that kind of caused a destruction or a misuse of technology, caused the shifting of the tectonic plates. That was more like 13,000, but the decline started earlier with these groups invading, and they have a you know, how do you take over a planet? They would go into these caves and then they'd abduct people. And believe it or not, and this is so far out there, most people are going to be going, what the hell? This guy's absolutely nuts. But they have a technology where they can separate your life force from your physical body. So they can do that, and then one of them could come in. There's like a technology for that. So they actually manipulate the highest levels of governance and finance and created a system that puts them at the top of the heap and manipulates a lot of things. Now, is each individual in this chain aware of it? No. What happens is it's a vibrational input that goes in. They get ambitious people and, hey, watch, look, we have this latest technology and watch this. And you see some guy like, you know, super soldier doing something. They go, wow, that's amazing. And so they bring him in. Yeah, you get one. The next thing you know, it's kind of like the movie They Live. Mm-hmm. You ever see that with Roddy Piper?
Right.
Literally. And combine that with the Matrix and you get a level of people don't want to wake up. They want to be like that guy who sold them out, you know, said, screw Zion. I'm getting a big job. Put me back in the Matrix. You know, there's a lot of people that don't want to look at the situation on Earth. And we have to heal it in a positive way.
Well, let me ask you this then, because this has been a big bone of contention. You know, I mean, I'm always fascinated by the alien intervention stories and the fact that they,
I listen,
personally, I don't doubt that half the planet is alien in nature to begin with. I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that we weren't the native spirit species to this planet. That makes sense to me that we might've come from somewhere else and landed here or been put here. The part that gets to me and a lot of my listeners that I hear on a regular basis, Rob, is the fact this when you get into the hippy dippy shit of the, oh, they're just waiting for us to all come together. And once we do, the brotherhood and all of this shenanigans, and they are elevated and they've been trying to help our planet for years. Here's my thoughts. If you have this capability and ability, they could help the planet already. And this waiting for us is never going to happen. We're not an intelligent enough species to get out of our own way. We're filled with lies and contempt and greed and stupidity and murderous rage for no reason. And if these aliens have the ability to basically melon ball out your soul and infuse you with a higher intelligence, if they feel that the information they've given has been corrupted and that the free energy and the way to save our planet has been corrupted already, why not just melon ball Donald Trump, melon ball Vladimir Putin, melon ball all of these leaders, fill in and then just break the peace out together? Because it would seem like that would finally be the way to do it and still look human in nature. It's just we've had this big kumbaya, we've come together, and now we're going to fix this stuff. If that technology exists, why are they not employing it? Oh, your volume's out. I've lost you.
Yeah. I say, if they're already here, why aren't they hell showing it?
Right.
You know, we talk about it. And they used to come around at one point in my life. I was just beat down by all my friends telling my stories. I had experiences which were out of body. I would leave my body at Fred Bell's house, and I would go up, and I would have long sessions of kind of cosmic information about how long in the universe. I just realized, oh, my God, it's infinite. You know, we mean nothing. You're a blink. And, you know, what's just going on? And through the years, different things were revealed to me. And I want to answer the one question because it's important. We have a hostage situation. And they made an agreement, the good guys and the bad guys, not to interfere or appear on the surface since, like, the year 1000. Because they were having battles and there were inner earth groups. Now, there are inner earth groups who went underground because the radiation kind of messed us up genetically. We became kind of mongrelized and they wanted to remain pure. So they kept separate from us for almost 30,000 years. They've watched us closely. They have elements that come to the surface. It's all been myth. And if you get down there, they take you in, you can't leave. And a lot of people are glad, but So there's been these different myths of the greater expanse or knowledge of the universe, and the ET thing has been very open, and the Dead Sea Scrolls is full of it. And the Jewish guys that control the Dead Sea Scroll factory don't want anyone to know. Dr. Frank Strange's was told by Commander Valiant Thor, release it. So he started talking about some of these Dead Sea Scrolls, and the Jewish authorities called him and said, you should be put to death. And Dr. Frank hung up on him, but because they don't want people to know these secrets, right? Because they have a manipulation that God is fearful, and if you don't do this, this is going to be happen. I'm the one interpreting what God's telling you. I mean, it's just nuts. You know what I mean? Spiritual connection to the source is an individual affair.
So why are they not fixing it then? I mean, what's getting down, look, boil it down? Why not just step in?
They have a explosive at the head of the world that could blow the whole thing up and fracture it, the whole planet. So the good guys have to be very delicate, and they will not play the wet game of violence. Some of them don't. So there's two different elements within the Galactic Federation that are dealing with. We're in quarantine. We're quarantined, and it's being broken by bad guys with all kinds of agendas. And you can learn about that through the William Tompkins information and what he shared. He built up the Good Space Program, but the government had another one that was even more advanced going off, and it was being nurtured along by the Draco-Reptilian Alliance, which kind of controls the thing. They call them the Syndicate. The Draco-Orions, along with some of the Omegans that are human-looking, and this, you know, it goes back because I've been studying this for 45 years. So we have various contactees revealing their experiences and information, and we're kind of getting it put together individually. And I think the reason it's done this way, Dave, is it gives safety to the individuals revealing the information. If you came out with all this stuff, they take you down. You cure cancer, they will put a SWAT team on you. You want to sell raw milk, a SWAT team will come on you. You know, have a free energy device, you die. You disappear. How many guys have that happened, who've gone around riding in their cars on free energy? They do it on the news, they eventually do it for a little while, and then they disappear. These guys are very serious about keeping control and keeping people ignorant of the truth of who you are electromagnetically, the power of pyramids. They're found on every continent. I mean,
but yet, but on that side, though, here you've been dealing with the power of pyramids for 30 plus years. Why are you still here?
40 plus years.
40. I was giving you the benefit of the doubt there. All right.
Actually, 46. But
so
go ahead.
If you've been doing this, why haven't they erased Rob Potter for this kind of information and sharing it?
Well, look, I've only been sharing it. I most of my life, Dave, it was, I think, in 2011, I was in England. 283 pounds, the highest I've ever gotten, maybe 285. And I was just sick of life, and I just prayed my heart out to God, and I said, you better use me or I'm getting off this planet. All these experiences I've had, and all I get is, you know, the crap blown in my face from everyone. And I had a chip on my shoulder for many years. I didn't even care about it. I bring it out every now and then. People go, oh, yeah, do your fucking crazy shit. I talk, and sometimes I'd find a sympathetic ear to hear my story, but for the most part, no one wanted to hear it. And I ended up working with a guy named Cobra, who has a lot of intel. He's direct communication with the people from Planet X and certain elements of the underground civilizations that are working to try to heal the planet now. They all need to come together and clean this mess up. And that's going to happen by arresting the criminals and the Dracos. And there's a whole super high technology, mind control, cloning even. You know, the pedo gate goes into that. It's so sick and crazy, most people just wouldn't believe it. When it comes out, they better hold on to their chairs and get ready to deal with it.
All right, we need to take a break. Welcome. This is Quarantine, Prison Planet Earth. You've heard Rob tell us that. We'll find out more. That's a fascinating aspect of this story to me. And there's so much, folks. Trust me, I understand we need a pyramid to focus this because we're getting a sip from a fire hose right now of information. We need to take a break. We'll come back. We've got more coming your way and the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness.
Beyond the Darkness.
All right, we're back here with Beyond the Darkness, and interesting topic tonight. There's so much information here, but you know, you kind of dropped the bomb on us, right, with this quarantine, this prison planet Earth, and that makes a lot of sense to me. So basically, we are the Australia of the universe, and have they sent their scourge, their problem children to this planet, basically, and now they're just trying to figure out how to fix what they've created all this time? And no offense, Australia, I love you, you're great people, but we all know that you were a prison colony at one point. So that's all my point is that we've become, Earth is the prison planet.
Yeah, my family's actually from Australia. That's pretty funny. But I wanted to say, from what we understand from the metaphysical sources and the Venusians and the teachings of the guides and masters, mm-hmm. who have laid the truth out, but it's selective. You have to know where to go to get it, and you have to be ready for the experience. But they say that in many hundreds of thousands of years, if not longer, different evolutions of planets, because the Earth is very special. It has a lot of a life force and ability. It's a very unique planet. It has lots of water and a tremendous, the exoskeleton is beautiful and lush and green, which is rare. So they sent consciousness from other worlds that when a planet graduates, there's actually administration that the planet changes into a higher vibration, and it's a natural thing that occurs. And sometimes beings aren't ready to make that point. So it's deemed responsible to take those beings to other worlds so they can incarnate there, where they can be more at the level of third grade or wherever they are. And the Earth actually has had quite a few what they call laggards come to the Earth, and has held up the civilization a little bit, because some of the, in the Bible, they term it like the wheat and the chaff, right? Where consciousness reaches a certain maturity of vibration, and then a new cycle begins. And when the cycle's ending, it's like the cymatic shift. There's chaos on the plate. There's no shape, and all of a sudden, then it goes into new shape, and then it just devolves, and there's cycles that go this way. So I wanted to bring up the point that, yes, that's one of the things that has happened. The Earth has been held back kind of by, and I'm not pointing fingers, we all have these crazy moments, but the Earth was designed by different extraterrestrial groups. They bought here and they did kind of an experiment here with 20 different genetic races of ETs helping to create a human, that they wanted to create a body. The idea was to transpose angelic functions in the flesh, from what I've been told.
How many races were involved in this?
22.
And I end up being a fat, bald guy in Minnesota?
Exactly. What Tell me hell? About it.
Come on, guys. Well, get your shit together and work on these genomes. Let's fix this up.
Well, we live a very short time.
Right.
And the experiment has been interfered with. And there's actually a, you know, I don't want to get into mythology, but you have to understand the truth of the extraterrestrial influence, both positive and negative. Mm-hmm. There's a being called Sataniel who did not like the experiment and tried to crash it. So that's kind of a situation we have here. We have different groups seeking to use humanity as a resource to create technology. In fact, we're very good at it, and they take it and they sell it in outer space to use humans, actually, and unfortunately.
So we're the China for the rest of the planet as well. We're creating all the cool equipment, and they're just culling it to sell it elsewhere.
A lot of the world is
nuts. Is
involved in that. They've had scientists, top scientists from all over. All the worlds are in on it. They say here's a secret program, and that certain people in these levels, they don't know the whole situation. They just facilitate this ultra network that is actually interplanetary and has to do with commerce and some very bad stuff. But here's the good news. The good guys have been here. They're not giving up. It hasn't failed. But you realize they will not stoop to lower levels. I wanted to bring this up. There's a group called the Confederation, and they will do no violence. They won't have anything to do with it. Now, there's another group, and some of the ET groups belong to both, but it's called the Alliance, and they will engage physically hostile beings in protective activities, but they're very, very careful because they do have rules about violating the free will. Now, they can interface with us. They want to. They can't come in fear where the government and the bad ETs are shooting at the good guys. It has to be a beautiful revelation of the truth of that we're not alone, because we never have been, never will be, and are not alone. There's a teeming universe out there. By the way, I know a guy who knew a guy, and here there's a lot of interesting stories. The Bigfoot actually lives on Mars too, but they're underground. They're extremely psychic. That's why they aren't found. They can sniff, smell. They know what you guys are doing up there in the surface hunting them, and they ain't coming out. They're psychic, and they have very little interaction, and it seems as though they removed their dead. I've never seen any Bigfoot stuff out there, but they're intelligent, they're more telepathic, and they're on a different evolution than us, and it's not really, you know, at this point in time for us to force interaction, and certainly not hunt them down, whoever those crazies are.
Let me ask you this, all right, because coming from the outside, this is intriguing to me. It's fascinating, the theories and belief systems that you have and that your mentors and the people in your world have had. But do you ever take a step back and take a deep breath and look at this from the outside and go, this sounds insane. This sounds completely ludicrous, this whole scenario. And I'm not slamming you with it. I'm just, when you're out on the outside, this concept is so battlefield Earth. Right? This concept is so alien, and I mean,
it's so against the programming that everyone's told.
Right.
I mean, come on. UFOs aren't real. And the Air Force doesn't exist, or what? Come on. The fact that we've been visited is in the Bible. It's in the Mormon Bible. The whole freaking picture of the UFO is Jesus in a fucking spaceship in outer space. I mean, you've got the Vedas, the Rig, Rajur, and Samaveda talking about interactions with the Devas, and the Devas are attacking the Asuras or demons. These are actual battles from, it's a bigger car. That's all it is. Forget the UFO. It goes beyond time and space and physics. They're all not perfect, and they're working together to try to help us break this, but we have to work from down below. And I know it sounds crazy, but I've had that my whole life. And I think one of the things that I lend to the metaphysical community and the deeper understanding and truth and dissemination of the extraterrestrial presence and how it's going to affect our society, and able to bring in the spiritual aspect and the scientific knowledge of various techniques and technologies known by adepts and the Great White Brotherhood to develop consciousness, which is breaking upon humanity, is the fact that I am comfortable with it. I think people can say I'm not crazy. I mean, is my knowledge provable? I mean, you have to have your own perspective. And I'm not trying to jump up on, you know, like the TV shows, Dave, where they run up to you, they jump up on your neck, and, you know, all those snap your necks. I'm not trying to run up and jump on people's neck, take them to the ground, and force feed this information. We're beyond that now. People have to wake up on their own and realize through their health, through the lives that we're living. We're living in these little prison houses, which actually, you know, kind of close us off, but we have a beautiful potential, and there's so much love and joy on the earth for people who are not in thinking about this kind of thing, like what's out there and the problems we're facing. People are just enjoying life. Tremendous love and experiences happening there. But we're going to be going through some systematic societal infrastructure reorganization that's coming soon, because the ETs, they've been waiting a long time, and they're going to have to make their presence known, is kind of my feeling.
Are they going to shake this galactic etch-a-sketch and start over again?
You know, for years, I have to tell you, when I looked at the long term of humanity, and they've done it before. It's, you know, one of the leaders said, it's just crazy here. They had to erase it because so much negativity was consuming itself. And they look at the long term. It's for the soul development. This is just a suit. And we're only wearing it, what, 50, 120 years maybe? There's people who live longer. Believe me, there's a 40,000-year-old being in South America. We'll talk about that in a second. But people need to live a long time. So part of the technology is to make us aware of how those forces are working against us, especially in our foods, in our electrical system, in our financial system, in our political system, in our actions and attitudes towards others, and militarily when we should be cooperating as a world, as a planet, without fear, with love in our hearts. So that's kind of, you know, how are you going to get there? Can they force feed that? No. I think their wisdom at this point in time is they don't want to become the issue. Ooh, you're from outer space. You must be a god. Look at that cool ray gun. I mean, they're here to tell the truth, right, to share like a simple technology. And when people find out about the car thing for 70 years and we kept them flying around, I mean, how many – ah, it's just nuts, all the wasted time and energy. And people are so...
But on the other side, we can't even trust ourselves on the road. I don't know that I want morons flying over my house, to be honest with you, Rob. They're already not paying attention to what they should be doing, and they're driving recklessly. I don't know that we need people dominating the airwaves and flying cars. I give you the free... it'd be great to have the free energy service and all of this.
There's a technology. They don't hit each other, and humanity will be much different because of the whole change in the understanding of and the fear of money. Everyone's taken care of. When our brothers, you know, and sisters, when we reach that point of cooperation, we'll have a humility and a reverence for life. I think a lot of people will be developing that through compassion. I think that's coming to the earth in one way or another.
You mentioned earlier in the show when you were talking about kind of being in a dark place, heavy set, kind of feeling smacked around. The people in your life were, you know, kind of mocking you and your beliefs and not necessarily there for you. Do you think that Rob Potter, when he is a contactee and he's given this information, do you ever think that maybe the idea is not the need to share? Maybe the need is not to go through ego to, and I'm not calling you ego, but I'm just saying through ego to feel the shit. Maybe it's once we just start to have this experience and we can embrace it ourselves, use that knowledge to better ourselves and better our surroundings. Maybe that's what the real message is, that we're not supposed to, we don't have to convince the world, and we don't have to feel beat down by the people around us that don't believe the things we believe. It's becoming strong within ourselves and not needing and relying on others to validate our thoughts and beliefs.
Right. Well, that was in my 80s. We're now in 2017. So I had a 10-year period there where I went through that. But being overweight later, that had nothing to do with it. It had to do with a soul calling. A calling that I've had my whole life, and I was thinking, how am I going to get it? I still have no money. I have ideas and actually inventions utilizing pyramids and metals with Tesla coils and creating environmental advanced healing systems based on reading the body's aura and supplying it with sound, light, and color from my teachings with Dr. Bell. So I just had a lot of, wow, is it going to happen? And through my prayer, it was a very cloudy day. The sun came out, and I started crying, and somehow I knew. And within a year, I was doing another trip to Egypt. I'm sponsoring conferences. What I'm saying is being heard and listened to and respected, which on an ego level makes you feel better, but it gave my life purpose. So for me, I'm able to share who I really am and share my information. Now, not everyone. There's so many people. Believe me, I've been to places where people have been given instructions for planetary interaction interface, and the person, you know, doesn't say their name. They say it. They get a message. One person, beautiful girl, Oriental, I remember, and she got a message and where to meet them. And that date was kind of veiled in what they said. They said, go to the second mountain this time and go on, you know, 2 days before your event that you're having an, you know, so the person knew where to go and what to do, and they were to receive information. So there's been a lot of technological missions of communication that don't have to do with airy-fairy, nutsy people just shouting and saying stuff. So I have, I think, a credibility because I'm not making stuff up. I'm telling the truth of my experience. Let me tell you another experience that I had. I went to Gabriel Green's house, and he had called me before. I was in Palm Springs. This is like 82. I'm working as a massage therapist, and we had pagers back then. So he pages me, and I go to 7-Eleven because Gabe and 7-Eleven's phenomenon happens. So I go to the 7-Eleven. I call him. He goes, hey, Rob, the master Hilarion, who's one of the Kohans or spiritual kind of guidance on the planet, says, is sending a teacher for you. And so I go, okay. And I was young. I was partying. I could have easily blown it off. And so I hung up the phone, and the phone rang like it was on steroids. They had put a beam on it. Bang, it rang. And I picked it up, and it had this echo. And this echo was actually Gabe. I wasn't there for this phenomenon, but they had made a phone call. It was Gabriel Green there, and the voice was echoing. And they Gabe was recording something, so they just held the recorder near the phone, and it was the same echo sound. They said, we have a message to the peoples of Earth, and they gave this story to Gabe. So it was like a phenomenon thing. He got a space phone call, which is pretty common now. And they, anyway, so I heard this this thing, and I hung up the phone, and I got a telepathic impression. Rob, take this meeting seriously. Someone's really coming to share some information with you. Because I was 22, you know. So I went up, and to make a long story short, I've told the story a lot, but this military guy, it turns out, was at Gabe's house meditating. We came there and go, well, where's the guy? We've been there like 30 minutes. The guy comes out and he does some stuff. And I said, do you see auras? And I said, he says, yes, I do. So he basically explained to me a lot of personal information into regards to what I was experiencing at Fred House, where I would go out of my body. He was explaining to me how the ships can settle into the building. And a ship actually settled in at Gabe's, and we all had an experience where our 10 people in a room, it looked like I had eye contact with every person. So what I think is they kind of raise the vibration of the room into the astral plane a little bit. Now, some of this is kind of out there stuff, but the next day, so I asked him, I said, so what's your story? He goes, well, I worked in a military gray abduction base in Arkansas. And I go, you did? He goes, I did. So, and he goes, well, I got in a car accident and I cracked my neck. And this breaks the programming that they have. They have like a programming system with what Bill Cooper called in his book, the Orion process, where you take a drink and then they give you suggestions and you follow orders. And so he had the car accident, broke his memories. He started remembering stuff that he was doing. And he was freaking out. He finally went into work, and a bell rang. After everyone was working 30 minutes, ding, and everyone like a robot stood up. And he goes, uh-oh, so he stood up. And they went through a room near the elevator where they took a drink of the cup, and there was something played, you da 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 da. And everyone went down to an underground alien base working in different levels of this government interaction, the secret treaty that has been part of a lot of pain and suffering for the planet. But a lot of them are patriots, and they just get locked up in it. And some of them have stood back and are now fighting against it.
So you said it was this gray abduction place. So are the grays there? Have we abducted them? Or
this is a long time ago. This is when the government was aware of hosting them. And this is old news, but this is his story because this was back in 82. And he went down to the level where he'd get on a ship where they'd go out and take a woman that they took 3 months earlier, jack the fetus from back, and they put the fetus. They had these glass tubes. You've heard about them at Dulce, New Mexico. They were repeating this around the planet, and I'm not really sure, but it's an unholy agenda, and the light forces don't like it, and it's going to get cleaned up. And most of it has been, we've been told. We're coming to a head now in clearing this process. There's still some of this stuff going on. But he went down, and he said he came up. He went for like 3 days, and he went and told the superiors, what the fuck is going on? And they go, oh, you broke a brain. He goes, yeah, for 5 days. What happened? I cracked my head. They were like sympathetic. They go, well, you know, we can kill you, or you can go to jail, or you can become one of us. Look, you go down not under my control. We actually want to know more what's going on down there. We don't know everything, and you're in the deep in the stuff because some of the guys – we're getting intel from it. They were like, keep your enemies closer. And there's military guys that aren't like it. The upper echelon that's controlling it is reptilian and saying, yes, it's happening. Just do it. But they're not feeling comfortable. So he was one of the guys. They debriefed him for 2 days or like 2 days. He said after the first day, they said, well, you're going to go to jail. So they took him to the above ground brig. He said, you're on Leavenworth for 15 years. No, you're not having a trial. Bye. So they let him think about it. He stewed in there for a while. Then they brought him the honey trap. We'll give you a car and a house on the base and higher pay. And he said, I am not doing that. Forget it. So that aroused the notice of the extraterrestrials. Here we have a guy who's standing up for principle. And he told me, I said, what happened? He goes, well, I was in the brig. It was 1 a.m. It was snowing. And a military guard was sitting in a chair, and another one was standing up with a gun, and then there were two guys behind some glass, and he said everyone went to sleep. He said it was like someone pushed the guard up against the wall and let him down gently. His helmet and his gun came off, kind of like James Bond. And the girl comes through the door, and she opens the door like with her hands on the lock and goes, we like the way you think, and we're going to help you. Follow me. Come quickly now. And he said she turned around and was walking out. And I go, well, I bet you took option B and followed her. He goes, hell yeah. He goes, but by the time he got to the door, when she got to the door, she turned around and hurry, come quickly. And so she went to the edge of the building. When he got to he stepped out and saw where she went. She's at the building. She goes, we'll see you again. Follow the light. And he's like, you just broke me out of a maximum security military base. So he runs to the corner. Her footprints are gone, but there's a little ball, blue ball, and it led him out to security, was his story. And I said, what do you do? And he said, I act as a transmitter. I share information to positive people, and I also break up negative things. So that was what he did. And then he took Gabriel, me, and some other people the next day out into the desert for a demonstration. There were other things that happened that day, but the culmination of the demonstration was because all of my ET experiences were at a distance. The ships were little scout craft that are covered in light. I'm going out of body. I'm seeing them with Dr. Bell. I mean, you know, I'm not getting the full picture. So the ship actually landed in front of Michael Allegian, Gabriel Green, the military guy, and me. And I had a telepathic communication with who I believe was Semyasi, Fred Bell's contact, because it was a female voice. And I started crying because I'd always been saying, I just want to know if it's real. I just want to know if it's real. Am I crazy? Am I crazy? I'm 21. I've had this for 4 years. What's going on, man? Poor me. And so I had that experience. She goes, yes. And then I had a conversation asking some questions here and there, which I know the military guy followed. But at the end, I said, will you get out? Can you come out now? She goes, no, you think you're the Messiah.
Why wouldn't she? What was this? What?
It was a joke. She said, no, you think you're the Messiah.
Oh, okay.
So it was basically telling me, you've had your experience. we're here. And the military guy looked at me, have you seen enough? And I said, yes. So I turned around and walked away. In retrospect, I might have enjoyed watching this glowing craft. But for me, I was never about, ooh, look at that car and the magical stuff. I was always in, what are you guys doing here? Who are we? What's the situation, right? That's kind of where I came from in that context. So I turned around, and the guy goes, where are you going? One of the guys, Michael, goes, where are you going? She hasn't left yet, and the ship disappeared. So I've had that experience. And
now, have you physically seen alien beings, the type that we, you know, think of Hollywoodized? Have you seen strange looking beast, not just humans dressed as the Fonz kind of thing?
No. I saw I met a Pleiadian once. Dr. Fred Bell was supposed to be speaking in Canada, and he got sick, and I went there. And there was a guy named James who was working with the government at Area 51 and other places on technologies. And he was living at Margaret Habsburg's residence, who was a billionaire. She was scared to death, worth like $100 billion. There were grays walking around the property. And Fred told me I made it one of the pyramid systems for him. And he said that in these old big houses, like big money, they have this really old furniture. And so you can understand ghosts. When a human has proteins, they call it ectoplasm, on a piece of furniture for a long time and multiple beings, that has what contains an auric field. And if a ghost wants to produce itself, it does so in around old furniture that has a lot of stuff. Like hauntings take place in old houses a lot. So that's one type of ghost feature. So he said the furniture has an auric stench. So he liked to take the pyramid and put the thing outside to sleep under it. And he was a Pleiadian. I met him in Canada.
So you've met these races. How and I know you said there were like 20, 23 that it took to kind of build and try to create what we have here currently. How many of those do you believe are still interactive with our species?
Well, I know that amongst the benevolent forces, there are people from Venus, Mercury, every planet's inhabited. They live on the inside. Some of them in higher dimensions.
Say they live on the inside, what do you mean?
They live in the interior of the planet for the most part. So, like on Venus, they have domes and they have civilizations on the surface, but we'll never see them or know where they are. They're very well protected. And our technology and negativity is not allowed near that.
Well, you know, it's interesting because we hear about this hollow Earth theory. So do you believe that there's an original alien race on every planet? Each one is adapted to that planet and they live under the crust of the Earth as opposed to on top of the surface?
Not on every planet, but most planets, they do live under the crust, actually. It's the majority do. Now, there are still 22 races, and there's actually other groups that are working and interacting. I want to share on my website so people can check these out, thepromiserevealed.com. I have a slider up there, and you can click on those sliders and check things out, but I think you should check on the Secret Space Program. You might want to go there now. There's one of the guys that had a company that was building the parts for spaceships, subcontracting for the government, and then parts of his team and him would go into Area 51 or to other secret bases and assemble various types of government spaceships. And on my website, Secret Space Program, I have a fair amount. I used to have more, but the photo loading was too much. But tremendous amounts of very high technology that the government has there. And I wrote a kind of an article about the Secret Space Program. But it's to give validity and actual physical proof to people. Also, the pyramid, if you click on under products, under pyramid, the category page, I have a very long article talking about negative ionization and pyramids and stuff, which is really good. And so people can understand how to use pyramids. And I also have crystals and lasers, that blood purifiers and all kinds of cool stuff there. But One of the other things I'd like to share is we were talking about the different groups. And I have a friend in Bolivia, and I've taken some groups there, and I'm going again this summer. You should come, Dave. I can give you a discount, but we're going from August 24th to September 2nd. We're going to Bolivia, where in 2015, a spaceship landed and interacted with part of this guy's group. And then we're going to Machu Picchu and to Lake Titicaca. Now, you think I've got out there stuff. This guy name is Luis Mostojo Fernando. Have you followed Corey Good at all?
It's hard to say. Yeah, I follow, but I'm not as deep involved in each one. I'm trying to deal with the show and five guests a week for 12 years. I know bits and pieces of everybody, but I couldn't tell you enough to fill, you know, a 2-page pamphlet.
Yeah. Well, anyway, they have, in one of the communications, they're taking people who have had incarnations before and have been prepared for having experiences with them and sharing it to help the transition of interplanetary cultural exchange. It's being done kind of on the down low here in a sense, but it's going to break into the mainstream very soon. And so
are we in danger currently? Is there a violent upheaval that's going to happen between all of these alien races and the good and bad humans that are already on this planet?
They've had that both. None of them want that. They have they don't want to go into full blown war. So if the bad guys lose, they withdraw. And one of my friend Cooper says it's going to be over, but it's a big universe. They may withdraw. We may see the same situation on different worlds. I think that's something that we can't really know that much about, getting too much into the politics of other races, that we're not here. We're just getting information. But the umbrella idea is that there's a group, very positive, that want to break through help and healing. There's a smaller group that gets a lot of noise because they're very much involved in manipulating and controlling the earth and the people for a resource. And that's a very long, complicated story to go into, but other people talk about it. David Icke and some other ones have some very good presentations on that information. But when he was 17, they told him, go up to Machu Picchu. He got some climbing guys. They went up deep in this valley, and then a ship appeared above, and they put a blue energy ball on the ground 30 yards from him. They said, go walk into it. He goes, really? And he walked into it. This is his story. Now, mm-hmm. You think I'm crazy, right? So this guy says he stepped into it. Next thing, he found himself over Ganymede, one of the artificial moons of Jupiter that is a Confederation base, just like Star Wars. Ships coming and going. They live a completely different vibration, and, you know, it's kind of hard for us to understand it, all of it, and accept it, but it doesn't matter. It's just part of a process of learning that we're going to come into, which is going to enrich us spiritually and as a planet, and free us from a lot of our self-imposed, you know, limitations that we have. And so he got some teachings there. Another story he has, he was on the island of the sun, Lake Titicaca, and they guided him to a secret entrance point, and he wrote it down beneath the lake, and he met a being who says he's 40,000 years old from Atlantis, and he was moved to South America to help. They have a technology that's called the golden disk of the sun that has downsteps cosmic radiations that are directed to the planet to help stabilize the planet's ley lines and grid lines. And there's allegedly, he said he went there, and there were four masters levitating in meditation around this disc. And then he said there underneath the water, he could see the sunlight, and there was no glass. It was just an energy dome, right?
Okay.
Then he looks off, and he sees another dome. And he goes, what's that? He goes, that's a Confederation base. So here we hear about the Confederation and the inner Earth people, some of the breakaways who are – sympathetic to us, but certainly not capable of healing our situation. You know, they come up and just be overwhelmed. I mean, they fall you know, it'd be difficult for them to maintain their situation, and the way the Earth would treat them is very delicate, wouldn't be delicate as respected. So they're working together with these extraterrestrial races to make it possible for the truth to come out. And this has to go through media that's not controlled, and it's all manipulated and controlled. I mean, you look at your television, there is nothing but murder and revenge. You know, Jonathan Wick, or these, you know, horrible, desensitizing information to violence. So they're trying to, you know, bring that healing vibration through a concerted effort together. Now, Lewis has also been taken to Venus in a spacecraft. He's had landings, and he's talked with Pleiadians. Mm-hmm. And he also
when
has...
When he tells you this, when you hear this kind of encounters... Is there ever any of it that sounds disingenuous to you, or that there is that maybe he has an underlying agenda as well?
Well, the great thing about Lewis, he's one of the most humble people you'll ever meet. He's very kind. He reminds me of Dr. Frank Strange's. Now, some people you might think, and if you go in with that, you're not going to see it. But there's a lot of good we've had experiences out there where you see the spaceship. So are these bad guys? I have to look at who they chose. They chose Louis. The people that I'm associated with, I don't get any grandiose illusions or, you know, craziness. It's all methodical, logical, trying to explain, you know, I mean, there's thousands and hundreds of thousands of years of history, and they're giving us, you know, a basic, you know, relax, it's okay. The Earth is not going to be destroyed. So there's a lot of talk about Nibiru and stuff, but I can assure you that we're going to make it out all right, rocking and rolling. Would you think that might happen?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's so many upheavals going on our planet right now. I'm talking, you know, environmental and political and societal, that it seems like there is it feels like the damn walls are about to break, and I don't know, I feel like there's something coming, and I've been hearing for years that there's a huge change coming in this wave that's going to hit, and it's going to cause some major blast back, and but I don't know, but you'd, and I'm not that sensitive of a human. But if you just shut up once in a while and feel, you can feel there's something off. And that's, mm-hmm. that's all I've got. It just feels like there's something big off that's either going to shatter and finally collapse, or it's going to, we're going to hit the crescendo of the volcanic explosion. And then we're going to have to reassess everything from that point.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think one of their efforts, because humanity is woefully ignorant of certain situation, is to make sure that this time, you know, people aren't running into caves and going back to caveman and barely surviving. I think the idea is to make the transition, to support the energy infrastructure and help us transition to the new system. It's kind of like you had your crazy cousin in the corner of the room.
Mm-hmm.
Who's controlling stuff, and finally adults going to come in and just take him out of the room, and that allows the natural order to restore itself.
Well, we can only hope so. Rob, keep us in mind when you get some more updates and information, and yeah, we'll be talking to Jimmy Church tomorrow on the show about his experiences. I've been to Yosemite Ranch a handful of times myself and have had some really weird experiences that are paradigm shifting and eye opening that you cannot just brush underneath the carpet. So we're going to be talking with Jimmy and his experiences there, and this possible opening, this maybe interdimensional or UFO opening, whatever it is that took place on Mount Adams while they were all there witnessing this. So we'll talk with him about that. It was fantastic talking to you, Robert. We'll put up links to all of your sites so people can find you and get the information from you. And, I wish you a lot of continued success, but keep us in mind when news breaks, and we can always visit with you, even if it's in 5-minute segments on Monday, to give us an update on what's going on in the world or universe around us.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I'll take you up on that. It's been a pleasure, Dave. I hope I sometimes my stuff is way out there and I talk about it so casually
I'm not trying to be anything. Opinion, that's good. Because I never felt like through this interview, in being 100% honest, it sounds completely lunatic to me, a lot of this, but it doesn't mean I'm dismissing it. It means that I need to reexamine how I look at things and how I see things. We talked at the beginning of the show about chakras and a light went on and I could see kind of a detailed visual of how things are supposed to be. So that's an awakening. You have these moments, these aha moments that speak to you. And what's important is with guests like you, maybe everything that you said isn't supposed to hit me yet, but there are listeners that it will make complete and utter clarity and sense to. And they may be the next step for the evolution. It's opening those minds. And then that wave may come back and pull us all out, right? Like the waves of an ocean. So I think that that's the fun part of doing this job is that you never know where the next wave is coming from. And I'm always open to hear these. And because you didn't sound like a raving lunatic trying to sell me on your snake oil.
Yeah.
It makes it more fascinating to me. It's spoken about matter of factly. This is what I know, this is my truth, and take it for what it is. So I always find that fascinating, and I respect people that are willing to come forward and let themselves be open about that. So thank you for doing that.
And thank you. And I think you tuned in and you talked about the individual dials. You really got that. And you understood that. Very appreciative. Anyway, thank you. And I have a radio show too that comes out. Just got to check it out on my website, thepromisereveal.com. But thank you so much for your time, and maybe I'll give you a call back if I got something interesting. And
we'd love to hear back from you. Thank you. And thank you all of our great listeners that have guests like this in mind. You can always send me an email at dave@darknessradio.com. That's dave@darknessradio.com. And tell us who you think would be a great guest, why, and if you have contact information for those guests, that always makes it easier as well. That's it for tonight. We'll be back with more of the best in paranormal talk radio tomorrow. This is Beyond the Darkness.